The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here, and it's time to take productivity to another level. End the summer strong by upgrading your growing business to the latest tech. This new season begins with up to 48% off top performance laptops like Bostro, taking performance to the next level with 12th gen Intel Core processors. You'll also save big on monitors, docks, mice, and more must-have accessories. Plus, get free shipping on everything. It's the perfect time to get ahead with powerful tech designed to stay motivated throughout the year and encourage collaboration and innovation among your team. Now, at special prices for a limited time only. Summer might be gone, but it's just the beginning. What's next for you? Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to save up to 48% on our latest technology. But we start this program today.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With two words. Back,
back. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Juan Soto is your 2022 Home Run Derby champion.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Clayton Kershaw starting the All-Star game.
I'm just so excited I get to do it here at Dodger Stadium.
Earlier on the show, ESPN baseball host Carl Ravage. Still to come, Sydney and Taylor Scott. Actor Justin Hartley. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on this very busy Tuesday in Los Angeles, California. You got an all-star game going down in Chavez Ravine tonight. And you know what? I shoot everybody straight here. And if you asked me, the version of me that used to be on SportsCenter.
Great hair.
And thank you. And Stuart Scott's daughters, Taylor and Sydney Scott, are here. They're about to join us. We'll go down memory lane. It would have been Stu's 57th birthday today. It's ESPYs week as well. So special stuff. Don't go anywhere. It'll be terrific. And I haven't seen these young ladies in quite some time. If you ask that version of me, if you ask about that version of me growing up in Staten Island, New York, hey, there's an all-star game in your neighborhood, in your town. Do you want to go? Would you go? I'd sit all the way in. Absolutely, I'm in. Are you kidding me? I grabbed 19,000 of those ballots at Yankee Stadium. And I punched holes. Remember that? You remember the old hanging chads?
Yes, it is.
Like you grabbed your pen and you stuck. Yep. You know, I stuck it through Thurman Munson's tab every time. You know,
Thurman Munson.
Oh yeah, I stuffed that ballot box as a kid in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You used to be able to take them.
I went right down the line. I went Chambliss, Randolph, Dent, Nettles, Pinella,
the whole team.
Rivers, Roy White got a little pop.
Roy White.
Oh yeah, man.
Who was that?
Roy White on the Yankees? Oh, yeah. Munson? You bet. Absolutely. I was writing in Fred Chicken Stanley if I could. Damn straight. I was absolutely going to an all-star game if it was in my town.
Yeah.
Now?
No way.
I live in Los Angeles, California. I'm a man of 53. Fifty-three-year-old man. No way in hell am I going to that game tonight.
I'd have to leave
5 minutes ago.
Yep,
I got 2 hours of the show to do.
Remote?
You kidding me?
Yeah.
No way. Do you know how hot it's going to be out there?
Too hot.
You kidding me? I'm going to put that air conditioning on 67 tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to put an extra blanket on me in the air-conditioned bedroom or the living room. You kidding me?
You're spitting
game
facts right
what?
Now, man.
What?
By the way, you are 1,000%. I remember when I moved out here, I was like, man, there's the Lakers, Clippers, USC, UCLA, the Angels, and the Dodgers, and the Kings. I'm going to so many games.
You're going to all of them.
I'm getting season
you're going
tickets.
Early.
I'm going early.
You're
I'm
even
going
late.
To every game.
Yeah.
I've been to one UCLA game in 13 years. I go once a year to Angel Stadium. Like, I never go to games. You want to know why? It's too far.
Yeah.
It's too
hot. It's impossible.
The traffic.
Are you kidding me? Dodger Stadium.
You guys, it's not going to be that bad.
Getting in and out of Dodger Stadium.
It's a nightmare.
Will literally make you rethink every priority in your life.
It's going to be 70 tonight.
Now, it's a beautiful stadium. When you get in there, once you're there.
Once you're there.
Oh, yes. My God. When you see that backdrop.
Yeah.
And you,
helmet nachos.
Helmet,
and
you got some helmet nachos. Well, and, a cold
also,
one.
And also sorry, the history.
Not
I mean,
dog.
We kind of had our fun with Acrisure and all that business yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, it's the same stadium. Same stadium memories. The stadium where I punched all those tabs for, you know.
It's gone.
For all my favorite Yankees.
Gone.
They turned it into ball fields, right?
Yes.
It's not a parking lot.
No, but I mean,
the plate's still there.
Right, you know what I mean?
Like, the home plate's
right.
Still there.
So this is still the spot, man, where they moved out from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
They built it. You know, where Kershaw's towing the rubber tonight, it's where Koufax towed the rubber. I mean, it's beautiful once you're there.
Yeah.
But once to get there, and I remember growing up in Staten Island and watching Kirk Gibson hit that home run in game one of the World Series against Dennis Eckersley, and the NBC cameras with Vince Scully in the booth widen out as the ball leaves the yard. And you see the taillights of the cars leaving. And I thought to myself, what weak-ass sports fans live in Los Angeles, California?
I do.
What
I do.
Type of sports fan would leave a World Series game?
Yeah, that's ridiculous, though.
That is kind of ridiculous.
To beat the traffic. That's what I saw. And I thought to myself, who are these people?
It was game one.
Who are these people? What's the matter with them? And now I am flat out one of them.
Yeah. I can remember in 94, the All-Star game being in Pittsburgh. Looked forward to the game and all the stuff that went on around town, you know, like this exhibit and that exhibit. And you could go throw a ball on this ball. Man, I had zero interest in doing any of that for this All-Star game, man. Just weird. You get older and it doesn't matter to you as much.
Years ago, Sunday Night Baseball, Yankees, Dodgers, okay? Interleague game. My nephew, Lee, Matthew Eisen.
Lee,
okay?
What up,
Lee? My brother's masculine child. Susie and I take him to Dodger Stadium to go to the game. I forget how old he is, okay? Half of his current age. And he wanted to stay for the whole game. And you can look it up. Eric Gagne.
Oh.
Trying to close it out against Eric. Alex Rodriguez. And I had no idea at the time. We assume this batter-pitcher matchup, very trapezoidal. And I don't even know if that's a word. I think it is. And Susie and I look at each other, and I honestly think it's I love him. He was an intern on this program. I will do anything for him, anything.
Except,
but I stuck around. Well, I did stick around, and that is absolutely to this day the most I've ever put myself out for that kid, ever. So. These are facts.
So I got two
spitting
I got
them right
two
now.
Tickets. You want to go tonight?
No. I do not, sir. I do not. Even though it's an All-Star game is so special. And really I've been fortunate enough to cover them and be there for them. And you get goosebumps about them. And they are awesome. They are awesome. And I hope tonight ends in a tie. Because it would be a home run derby to win the All-Star game, which, thank God, no longer has home field advantage of the World Series on the line. I don't know. In terms of things that baseball should never have done, okay? Ooh. That might be number one in the history of the sport.
The list is long and distinguished.
I know.
That would be great.
It would be great. It would be incredible to see a game end in a tie, and there's a home run derby to win the All-Star game. I'll tell you what. The minute that happened, I'd say, I'm out of here. Because we could sneak out of here while everybody's sticking around and watch another home run derby. I'll listen to that on the radio. Out. And I know I might be coming across as a little jaded. I don't think I am. I'm just spitting facts. As only I know how to do it.
That's
right
the
here.
Way it goes. Here.
LA is just like that for everything. Ram, I mean, we're like that. You become like that.
We leave
remember,
Rams.
Remember our buddy. Remember our buddy Sebastian Maniscalco was here, and he's talking about how his wife saunters out of games not fast enough.
Yeah,
it's like let's go pick up the pace a little bit.
It's the traffic. Like no one wants to sit.
It's true.
Yeah.
If you don't walk fast enough out of a sporting event in Los Angeles, California, it every second turns into a minute, and every minute turns into an hour. Facts.
And then you're sitting in your car for an hour.
Well, I mean, you listen to the game on the radio. Sure, it's very nice.
No, I'm just getting out of the parking lot.
All right. Got that off my chest. Feel much better. Today would have been the 57th birthday of Sydney and Taylor Scott's daddy. Stuart Scott's daughters, I have not seen them in forever and a day. We're going to hang out with them and have scoops for Stu when we come back. Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Life is amazing. I am freaking out right now. I'm not going to lie, because I haven't seen my next guests in decades, and I could not be more thrilled to be able to welcome them in as a guest here in Los Angeles, California. We all know about the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game, but it's also ESPYs Week here in Los Angeles, California. And the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance is going to go to Dick Vitale. And it was an award that was won by my guy, Stuart Scott, before his passing. And joining us today on what would have been their father's 57th birthday are none other than his two wonderful daughters, Taylor and Sydney Scott, here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you ladies doing? Good to see you guys.
We're doing great. We're so blessed to be here. Thank you.
Yes, good to see you. It has been a very long time. We're really excited to be here.
It's been 19 years since ESPN handed me a cardboard box, I think that I might have seen you maybe just shortly before that. Unbelievable.
So. I appreciate it. I know you bought some of my Girl Scout cookies. That really made a difference with my troop. And so, thank you. I know it was a
good look at you.
I would never have come here had you not really cared about the Girl Scouts.
Two Columbia grads I've got here on this program right now. So, let's just jump into it. What do you think of when you think of your dad? Let's start with that. How about that one, Taylor Scott?
An example. I think that with him, it's difficult because he's not here to be an active example, but I do love that I get to hear stories about him from people all the time. And those give me perspective now that I'm older that I didn't have as a child. And so it's really, there are things that his friends and his family members bring to us that are something I wouldn't have gotten, you know, when I did get to know him. And now that I'm, you know, older, closer to the age he was when he started in the field, I feel a lot of encouragement from the people who can give me the messages that he would have given me.
What about you, Sydney?
Yeah, I think so. It's so interesting for me because there's so many things that I've experienced in life. You know, just graduated college, and I can sort of hear his voice in the back of my head with the kind of thing that he would have said. You know, something fantastic happens, something terrible happens, and I can sort of imagine like how he would have responded. And I think for him to have left such a vivacious personality that, you know, we talk sometimes, like something happens, we see something on Twitter, you know, whatever, and we're like, you know, dad would have been, you know, he would have had something to say about this. And so it's really, with everything that Taylor added, with people sharing stories and continuing to like learn about who he was as a person, even in these years since he's been gone, it's so special.
Well, yeah. I think of him when big time sporting events happen. Yep. Anytime the NBA finals hit, I think of him. Boy, did I think of him with the Final Four, Carolina playing Duke. Oh, my God.
That was intense.
He would have lost his mind.
Yes, he would have. And here's the thing. It was a very, you know, it was a very good thing that we were all watching together, because he had his superstitions where growing up, when my mom and my dad would like watch a sports game together, especially if it was Carolina, maybe only if Carolina, but especially if it was Carolina.
Yes.
And my mom went and, you know, to the bathroom, got up and left, and Carolina started winning. He was like, you can't come back.
You have to stay out of the room.
You got to stay out. Yeah. I'm sorry. You can't come back. So that game, I don't even know what we all would have been subjected to.
But I mean, the biggest Carolina Duke game ever. There will never be a bigger one unless somehow, some way, you know, John Schreier, right, the new coach of Duke, stays for 50 years and becomes the greatest coach in the history of the school.
Exactly.
And then they play in the last game.
Yep.
Somehow they play in the last game.
It was once in a lifetime.
And I think of him. Whenever, like, say, big stories occur, like Kaepernick, I wonder what Stewart would say about, you know, what your dad would say about what's happened with Colin Kaepernick. I think about him all the time. I mean, absolutely all the time. And I've got tons of stories. I mean,
listen, we love to hear him.
Well, I mean, and the neat thing too is because again, you know, I met you obviously. You know, I know it's stupid to say before your younger sister. You gotta put the photograph up. I have this every now and then. This was at the Jimmy V golf tournament years ago. I think that's what it was. If I had to guess, and there you are, Taylor, in your dad's hands, you're holding
a balloon.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm standing right there. You know, with all due respect, I don't know who. I don't recall too many details of this. But I just remember how much he loved you guys too, and I just know. And now I'll get deep. I don't care. I'm now a girl dad, and I know. But here's the thing about your dad that I always remember too. He's I think about his love of life, his love of being himself, and I'm not saying that as if he had an ego. I mean, we all do, but just he loved being who he was and letting everyone know who he was and living his life as that, and certainly on the air. And I just remember his pridefulness, his competitive nature. I remember all of that. And then, of course, I just, you know, his love of you guys. I just remember that. And I think about that every time I look at my daughter, too. It's a fact.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm unburdening now with you guys.
No, please. No, it's beautiful.
You know?
And that's the greatest gift, I think, is the pride in being yourself such that you allow the others around you to be like, hey, it's okay for you to also be yourself. Here, I am doing it. It's okay. Who you are, even if you're just trying, there is acceptance here for that. And I feel like that is the greatest gift that can be. Listen, it is especially your father who brings that to the table for you.
I've got Taylor and Sydney Scott here, the daughters of Stuart Scott, on, again, what would have been his 57th birthday, and it's ESPYs week here in Los Angeles, California. So I'll just throw it up to you. What story, if you want to go first, Taylor, or you, Sydney, however you want, what story about your dad that you have heard that you'd never known before that's suddenly become your favorite from somebody? You got something on that? You've run into somebody's, whether it was a fan or somebody that he covered or anything like that? Got something like that?
So here's the thing. There are definitely a couple of funny ones that I have learned over the past couple of years, and some of them have been from like friends, family members about his college days that they were like, we could not share this with you before you yourself was in college.
And now you have come of age.
Now you've come of age. So there have definitely been some really funny ones. But I think honestly what have been the most special and the most interesting ones to me is I cannot tell you how many people have come up to me and said, you know, I met your dad at an airport in line at a fast food place, you know, wherever it may be. And they were like, oh, you know, they gave their little spiel. They're like, I watched you growing up. I was so inspired by you. You know, I want to go into broadcast. You know, I want to go into sports journalism, like all of these different things. And they would talk about how he took, you know, whatever couple of minutes out of his day to talk to them and to share about his experience and to give whatever advice he might have had. And
yes.
I think, you know, it's something that, you know, it's like, that's kind, that's nice. But the overwhelming number, like just the fact that he was out in public and just like minding his own business and just like so enthusiastic and ready and willing to share like his experiences and his joy and his like all of those different things.
He had a lot of energy.
And it's really, really special to know that, you know, this isn't just something that he was reserved for either the camera or for his family, but like this is who he was 24/7.
Always. You know, and so many people think that you see somebody who's successful with a personality on television, it's an act.
Yep.
Oh my God, no. I mean, the Stuart Scott that everybody saw on television is exactly the guy that you would meet anywhere.
Yep.
I totally wholeheartedly endorse that message.
Yep.
What about you, Taylor? You got any good story that you want to share?
I like hearing about his college days. And I also like hearing about, I think what was interesting for me is that a lot of his friends kids were younger than me. And so I called you Uncle Rich. There was, Uncle Kenny. Everyone's my uncle. I thought you all were my friends because there was no other children around. I thought that it's really wonderful because I remember him. He used to talk about, I was thinking recently about SVP, Scott Van Pelt. He was like, I cannot wait until he is a father. He's going to be such a great father. And there's like this nerdiness about loving being a dad. And it was humiliating to me because he would just show all of my most private moments on his phone recorded to all of his friends.
Yes.
But I do now, with a little bit of space from that, I love the excitement that he had about, I get to do this thing and it is what I love. And I can't wait to see my male friends get to the place where they also know what this feels like.
Well, I've got two stories for you. Okay. Here we go. And I've told them on this show every now and then, but I've got a personal one, and then I've got, they're both, off camera, but there's one about me and my wife, Susie, who I met at ESPN. And then there's one out and about. Which one do you want to hear first? The out and about?
Out and about.
Out and about. I'm going to tell the story, Chris.
It's one of my favorite stories.
Two Stuart Scott's daughters, okay? Taylor and Sydney here. Here we go. So it's the All-Star Game in New York City, NBA All-Star Game. I think it was 99, right? It's the famous one where Kobe Bryant's waving Karl Malone off the blocks. It was discussed in The Last Dance, that documentary. Okay, so it's New York City, and Stuart and I, your dad and I, are doing an 11 o'clock Eastern Sports Center, okay? And it's for some reason, we got stuck doing it on a Friday night, which never really used to happen. Friday night, 11 o'clock Eastern Sports Center, and there was an event that was going on in New York City that night at the old All-Star Cafe, which was the restaurant that Shaq and Wayne Gretzky owned, and Ken Griffey Jr., I think, had all a big stake in it. And so we wanted to go, but the problem is that we couldn't leave the set until midnight. And we're like, should we do it? Should we do it? And your dad's like, what do you mean, should we do it? Absolutely, we're going to do it. So we got a car, And we hopped in a car. The two of us sat in the back of a car. And we were driven to New York City. And it took 2 hours to get there.
Ooh.
It's 2 a.m. and we pull into we pull into Times Square. And everybody's leaving the party. The party's over. We get all the way down. The party's over. Your dad tells the driver to stop in the middle of Broadway. In the middle of Times Square, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh,
and he's
God.
Like, I'm gonna ask the cop where everyone's going next. And I'm like, why would the cop know? And he looks at me and goes, why wouldn't he know?
Gotta figure out where
the cop
is.
I'm like, Stuart, we can't stop the car in the middle of like Times Square. He goes, basically gave me a look of like, watch me.
Yeah,
so he gets out. And the cop knows exactly who he is. Like, you could just read the body language.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not hearing what he's saying.
Yeah.
But you could see, and the cop's, like, giving him directions. And so your dad comes back, and he says to me, get out of the car. I know where we're going next. And I'm like, where are we going next? And he goes, he gave me this look at, like, will you shut up?
It's
like,
night with the boys.
I'm like,
exactly.
Yeah, no, it's night
the
with the boys. I'm like the nervous Jewish kid from Staten Island, New York. And he gives me a look, like, just shut up. Let's go. Stop overthinking it.
Yep.
So I'm going to tell this story. Chris, it's great.
It's great. It's an all-time punchline.
Okay. So we're now walking down Times Square and now walking to the west side of Manhattan in a spot I've never been in my entire life. And I'll be very honest, as we're walking further and further west, I am the only white guy on the street. And your dad is walking down the street and everybody is stopping us every 2 minutes. And suddenly there's now dozens of people following us. Dozens.
Trying to go to the after party.
Dozens of people following us because they know, right? And so finally we keep walking. And one last guy stops and he says to your dad, okay? Like, I'll look at you, Taylor. You're your dad, and Sydney, you're me. And so he says, oh my God, it's Stuart Scott. And he looks at me and he goes, and the white guy.
Beautiful.
The white guy.
Here's the thing. That's the appreciation, though. He said, "Wait, hold up. I know who you are."
The white guy.
His white guy. It's our white guy.
Exactly.
And the white guy.
That was high praise.
I was the white guy, and to say that your dad couldn't have loved that moment more.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
All right,
oh my
so
god.
Here's the personal.
Oh my god.
One. Here's the personal one here. Okay. Yeah. So I met my wife Susie at ESPN.
How many years together now?
Oh god, we're married 19. So, but we met in 96 when I first arrived, and it took a while for you see she's laughing already. It took a while for Susie and I to start becoming an item. You're laughing at that.
God.
It's the truth.
It was a slow burn.
That's the one way of putting it.
You know, slow burn relationship.
We were just you know, just friends for a while. Uh-huh. I wanted to be more than just friends for a while, and your dad knew that, and he loved my wife, Susie Schuster, who he called S Squared.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he would constantly go up to S Squared and kind of like say, why don't you like, you know, my guy?
My guy,
you know,
like yep.
He would play us towards the middle all the time. Okay. And, you know, you see when I was a little bit down on it, just like, yeah, come on, just keep it going. You know, like everything you talked about your dad, like wanting people to have families and yep. start, you know, like you should be a dad and all that. Yep. Exactly. Yep. So he's just like, keep going. Like, don't give up.
Get in there. Come on.
And so we obviously became an item, and then we got married, and there's an incredible photograph from our wedding day. Okay. Where your dad looks at me and looks at my wedding ring on my hand. And he's smiling, and the look said two things. One was essentially, you know, I told you so. Okay. And the other one was, we did it.
Yep.
You said we as a team.
Basically, you could see he gets his look on his face. Like, we did it.
Here's the thing. That doesn't surprise me.
He was like, we're in it together.
Yep, because he had the most, like, he had the story of how he and my mom met.
Yes.
And he would always talk about the woman who introduced them. And that was, he would tell it over and over and over again. So now knowing how important that story was to him, I know that he in his head was like, that was me.
I got to pay it back.
I was the instrumental role here. Like, we together did this.
Yes, like, literally.
I'm so glad I helped create.
I know, right?
Honestly, we did it. You know, like that's the way he would take the approach.
Yeah. He's proud.
You know, and then again, the fact that we had so many incredible moments together on TV, you know, meshing our two different upbringings and our two different pop culture, you know, landscapes as one, you know, team and unit, you know, he called me, you know, no offense, Kim, like his TV wife. Like, I was his TV wife, is how he referred to
little
me.
Little competition.
You know? Of course, he was the male in that equation, you know? I mean, so. But at any rate, Taylor and Sydney Scott here on The Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so let's talk about the future. What's going on with your dad and the foundation that has been born out of his message and his remarkable speech that will live forever, you know, for the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance? What's the latest, and how can people get involved? What's going
on? We're so grateful for the V Foundation, not only because that's something that we grew up knowing, that my father was like, this is the amount of time I commit to this, because it is important. It's important for people's lives before mm-hmm. it personally affected us on any level. But the fact that they, are so much at the forefront of this research, but also have taken the time to realize that there are health disparities in the care industry and also in the science that's being done. And by ameliorating those differences, really everyone benefits from that. It's a future for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I have such gratitude and such admiration for that. And so for us, kind of whatever we can do to help proliferate that message and also spread awareness about, you know, we love our dad. People love their dad. We want to see families together for as long as possible, because that's what's important.
So here's what we have going on, Scoops for Stew. Taylor and I started this. I mean, it was honestly just, it kind of came about organically.
Yes, we like ice cream.
We like ice cream. That was the place to start.
My father took us to get ice cream.
Yep.
We were good.
And now National Ice Cream Day is 2 days before his birthday.
Exactly. Timing. And so it worked out so well. And, you know, it was something where, you know, it was the first year after he passed, and we were trying to, you know, find something to really celebrate his memory, but also to sort of be able to feel that for ourselves.
And share it with other people,
exactly. And so Scoops for Stew was born. It's essentially an awareness-raising campaign where everybody's supposed to go out, favorite ice cream shop, get your ice cream, you know, and post it on social media with the
virtual
hashtag.
Ice cream party.
Exactly, little virtual ice cream party. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly something that's so special. Taylor has a really great story about a time that we went to this ice cream shop in our, you know, in our, where we were growing up. And we basically, he went in and he did this a couple times. He would do it at drive-thru sometimes. But this particular day, he went in and we paid for our ice cream. Then he paid for the people behind us. And he'd done it before. He just said, you know, it was just something that he kind of
wanted to hammer home the idea of always paying it forward.
Exactly. And so the next time we went into that ice cream shop, they basically told us, they were like, you guys, you know, like last time you were here, that kept going on all day, like all day long. Everyone paid, the people in front paid for the people behind them. You know, they'd had theirs paid for it and they continued it. And it was just, I mean, it was really, you know, it was really funny. It was strange to think that something so little and so, you know, nonchalant,
inconsequential had ripples.
Exactly. And so, you know, it was this really beautiful act of care, I think, as well, to know that like, these are utter strangers behind you. You have no idea who they are. And, you know, you're willing to put down something in order to pay it forward. And so that has become a huge part of why we do this, because it is about paying it forward and enjoying ice cream, obviously.
It was a great parenting moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. I know, right? What a great moment. He killed
deliver
it.
He really did. That was A+ parenting, A+ fatherhood. Right? But it's like, how can we continue to embody that and move in that spirit?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the hope that we have for everyone, is go out, have some ice cream, enjoy time with your friends. Family.
And then if you get a chance, definitely donate to the organization, the Stuart Scott Cancer Memorial Research Fund. I would definitely like to say that that is something that has given me so much hope since my father's passing, because I am not a scientist, and it does seem very bleak to look at the future of medicine and not have an answer. I really have been so encouraged by meeting different V scholars, scientists who have been grant recipients from my father's organization, because they really do have the step-by-step process of, even though this is difficult now, it is not as difficult as it was 5 years ago. What people went through 5 years ago, that is paid forward. Like, our father was very adamant about participating in clinical trials. And he said, you know, even if this does not save me, it's not just my life that's on the line here. It's that there needs to be life going forward after me. And that is something that I am deeply touched by. And that when there seems like there is nothing to go forward for, that is something.
And that's at vfoundation.org?
Yes.
Is that how people can find the portal?
Yes. And it is the Stuart Scott Cancer Memorial Research Fund.
Yes.
I think there's a little tag. There's a link.
Yep.
There's a link right there. Yeah. And you got some names you want to throw out?
I did want to thank Melody Smith. She's a doctor. She's a VFund scholar. Jasmine McDonald is a grant recipient as well. And Professor Olapade, I had the wonderful opportunity to meet her and her family. Her husband is also a doctor. Mm-hmm. And her whole family, they very much are pro encouraging people to know more about their medical profile. Mm-hmm. What will I face? What did my family members face? All of these things. I hadn't had a concrete way of thinking, you know, cancer is this destructive thing and it's always going to be destructive. And her work about how looking for genetic and non-genetic markers of tumors and proclivities, those are the things that, I'm not the smart one doing it, but there is someone who is dedicating every day to making sure that in 10 years, people can be diagnosed with appendiceal cancer and they can get more than 7 years after that.
Yep. Yeah.
VFoundation.org, and make sure that the Stuart Scott Memorial Fund is well funded. Liz, let's bring it in here. Okay. Oh. So here we go.
Oh.
We have scoops.
Okay.
We've been good. Right. What did we do to deserve this?
I know.
We've got vanilla and chocolate. You want a little bit of both?
Is yes.
Okay. And we even got a scooper.
All right. Let's see.
Here, I'll do it. You stay there. I got it.
Okay. We'll be. This is nice. Okay. We've got the whipped cream, chocolate sauce on top.
Oh, yeah.
You know how to throw an ice cream
exactly,
party.
Exactly. This is how we'll start off our day. This
scoops
is the
for
way
stew.
To do it.
It's been out, so it'll be easy for me to scoop. I'm sorry. I'm getting big portions here.
No, perfect.
Listen, okay. Don't ever apologize.
We've been good.
All right. Do you guys want whipped cream too?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Let's
go all out. Chocolate Sunday dream.
Do you want chocolate? I'm all good without the chocolate sauce, but
you know I love chocolate.
Yep.
All right, so here we go. Here's just one with whipped cream.
Perfect.
Wow.
Perfect.
Here we go.
This feels like my favorite birthday party.
So you want to
pass
it?
Exactly.
Pass that to
Thanks.
Sid.
This is for you, my
okay,
queen.
Perfect.
All right, so now this is for you.
Okay, this is exactly what I needed today.
Ooh, and this is some good ice cream, too.
It is. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. I don't know. If it's coming out of the budget, it's great. All right.
We're honored.
You want the chocolate sauce too?
Yes, let's do some chocolate sauce.
So I guess I should say this. I feel like I've been telling stories and I'd like to be talking with you instead of just telling you, but I'll do it anyway. Yeah. You know, about, here you go, Tay.
Thank you so much.
Perfect for me to tell you this while I'm scooping out.
Oh, perfect.
Do you want some ice cream, Chris?
Yeah, I'll come get some after. Yeah,
all right, here we go. Mike, you too, and TJ, I don't want to leave you out. You want some ice cream, guys? Okay, very good.
Love an ice cream.
Everybody, I just will say this. It's wild to me that your dad is remembered as a groundbreaker, an iconoclast, a legend. And I'm saying that because I had a front row seat to the way it all started. And I was there quite a bit when your dad felt anything but, like, Stuart Scott felt anything but in real time,
yep,
as a groundbreaker and an iconoclast. He was literally just being himself.
Yep.
And this is the message I would give to anybody, is that you just keep believing in yourself. You keep believing in yourself and who you are and how you're going about it, and let the chips fall. And I think if we had told him back in the day, you know, from 96 to 03 when I was there and I was doing Sports Center with your dad, if I was telling him, hey, you know, one day you are going to be remembered as the guy who broke ground and absolutely reinvented the way a lot of people did our job, yeah, and you will be remembered that forever. And people, there will be legions of people who would be wanting to be you, and they're imitators of you, essentially. If I told him that, he would have had two answers. One of them would have just get out of here. And the other two would have been damn straight. He'd have been like, damn straight, that's how I'm going to be remembered.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and that's,
yep,
not why he was doing it.
Yep.
That's not the motivation for doing it while he's doing it. The motivation is he's just having fun and he wanted to be successful and, yep, he's competitive. But he'd be like, damn straight.
Yep.
I would be. But also he'd be just like, get out of here. Because there were times where he wasn't made to feel that way.
Yep.
Be very honest. And so that is one of the tales I like to tell about Stuart Scott, your dad, is that, you know, so many people don't believe in what they're, you know, they're told no, or they're told you're not doing it right, or you're not doing it a certain way. And you just pay no attention to that, you know, and he would be, I'm sure you know this anyway, too. I'm probably the latest person to say he'd be so proud of you. Both.
Appreciate that.
That
I
is
think
the truth.
That is definitely what I can relate to most, being, you know, mid-20s. It's, I can't relate to my father's success at all.
Right.
Because that's, you know, it doesn't even make sense to me, but I can relate to just doing what you do and loving it and, mm-hmm, failing at it over and over and constantly being, getting criticism for it and knowing that whether you succeed or fail, or whether your, you know, your producer likes you best or likes someone else best, it really is about, he had a conviction that there was the way, there was a way that news could be told that would reach people.
Yeah.
And, yep, so he was willing to kind of sacrifice whether or not, you know, he got some flack. I definitely, that is the most inspiring thing, is to be like, find what is worth working for.
Yeah.
And keep your head down about it. And so I feel like that, I love the idea that he could be like, absolutely, that would be me. People, I am going to have an impact.
Yeah.
But it comes from that conviction in knowing that his work was worthwhile.
Yep. I remember, because a lot of times, you know, growing up, he would tell us, he'd be like, I worked so hard. I was driven. I put in every ounce of myself into this. But I was also lucky. You know, like, he also was in the right place at the right time at,
right,
some point to get, yeah, this opportunity. And so,
to work with me, you're saying? Or
exactly. Okay. He was like, it all boils down right here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was the iron, Rich. The ionizing.
Exactly.
No, but I had a front row seat for that, Sydney. I had a front row seat for all of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I really, really did. And he worked his ass off.
Yep.
He really did. And but then there would be times where he kind of felt down about it.
Yep.
And it was really odd to see, because he was up about absolutely everything.
Yep.
You know.
What did you say to him?
What did I say to him? Sometimes I would tell him, in all honesty, just like, what do you care? And then he would kind of give me that look saying, yeah, but you come with a different set of, you know, tools, resources, or upbringing, or, you know, basically you're a white guy. I'm not going to lie. I mean, like, that was the sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then he would just do like a deaf poetry jam lead in anyway.
Yep.
And people,
that was it.
Yeah,
do it anyway.
You know what
that
I mean? He would do it anyway.
Exactly.
And then he would get like frustrated. I'll tell this one last story too. Yeah, I'm going through my greatest hits with his daughters, Chris.
Yeah, as you should.
Is that, you know, one time we do, we, you know, we go to a commercial break, and I had just done a line from the latest Seinfeld episode.
Yep.
Going to break. And so everyone on the floor laughs, and we're off camera, and he turns to me, he goes, "What was that?" And I'm like, "What do you mean, what was that?" He goes, "What was that?" And I'm like, "That was the latest line from Seinfeld." And he goes, and I'm like, "What was that?" And he goes, "Brothers don't watch Seinfeld." And what he was telling me is like, you know, so I'm doing this lyric. I'm making this reference. And I'm the one who's coming across as outside the norm. Mm. But what you just did is kind of outside the norm, too. And nobody bats an eyelash about what you're doing.
Yep.
That's basically what I took from that conversation.
I love that you both brought your cultural backgrounds to the table, because it does create such a, like, I don't know, there's people who like Seinfeld and they like Def Jam poetry. And it's like, you reach both of those audiences. Yep. And I think that that's so special. And also, again, your work marriage. It was a very beautiful place to, like, proliferate. I don't know. I feel like sports is culture and culture is sports. So,
oh, no question. Yeah. And you're very kind to say that, because half the time I had no idea what your father was saying.
and he didn't know what someone said on Seinfeld.
Is it true somebody in the family was giving him lines and stuff like that? Was he tending, like, one of, like, your niece or nephew, his niece or nephew, feeding one of your cousins, was feeding him like the latest rap lyrics and stuff? Like, that's what that was.
So he did,
like,
stay,
like, he was on it.
He was on it.
But he also had his feelers out for him.
He did. And I would say it was not, you know, obviously he loved hip hop music. Here's the thing. Now I'm able to listen to hip hop music that he had to. He would literally drive with one hand on the volume, because he had to know all the songs so that he could censor it as he drove. And he would say,
whether it's usable or not.
Exactly. When we were driving in the car. But at the same time, he was also a huge theater nerd. Like, he was theater kid.
Sure, yeah.
And so it's like, you might come with, like, something from Snoop Dogg, or you might come with something from the musical Wicked. He would not stop listening to that either. And so there was always, I don't know, I really love, you can find so many touchstone moments in terms of reporting.
Sure.
Just from living in the culture and being with people.
And that's what happens when you let people be themselves.
Yeah.
You know, is that you get to reach those people, and everyone who's watching gets, like, again, you know, we've talked about it a million times, all these people who say, oh, you know, I watched your dad, you know, in the morning when I was eating, you know, breakfast before I went to school.
Yeah.
And it's just so special to me that it's like, there are so many people that felt, you know, I don't want to say felt seen, but, you know, like, felt like they, like he was talking to them. And
no doubt. And
that's an incredible thing to me. Like, it's really, really incredible to me.
Well, let's do this more often than 20 years.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll be a very old man if we wait until that time.
We'll bring the ice cream next time.
Exactly.
Please. I mean, I'm so thrilled that we're able to do this. And again, vfoundation.org, and make sure you give to the Stuart Scott Memorial Fund. And congrats on all your both successes and graduation, and go crush it like your dad would prefer and expect.
Exactly.
And Taylor and Sydney Scott at Tay, T-A-E, and Sid, S-Y-D, on Twitter. I follow them. You should as well. Let's dig in right here on the
Absolutely,
Rich Eisen Show.
I've,
all right,
I've already
scoops,
been...
scoops for Stu Day right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Rogue Irons. Callaway didn't just create the longest irons ever with the new Rogue ST. They made the longest irons ever perform at the highest level for every player. Just like the Rogue ST driver, there's four different offerings of the Rogue ST irons, so there is one to fit your game. The Rogue ST Max, that's the one I use. It's the most popular iron for the widest range of players. Improvement shaping, incredible combination of speed, forgiveness, all-around performance. Low to mid-single-digit handicappers, there's the Rogue ST Pro. The Max OS is for a game improvement model. Folks who need that, that's mid to high handicappers. If you've got a slower swing speed, the Max OS Lite, the most forgiving high launch iron in the mix, that's for you. No other irons perform like the new Rogue ST irons. Find your Rogue ST irons at CallawayGolf.com/GoRogue. Nick Saban has spoken on the NIL and his relationship with Jimbo Fisher. Ooh. Oh, ooh, baby. That's coming up at the top of the next hour. Justin Hartley, one of the stars of the hit show that just wrapped up, This Is Us. He's here in studio talking about his new spirit relationship.
Hey, now.
We're not talking about cheerleading. We're talking about a little. So you got some alcohol to go with your ice cream, Chris.
Man, I'm like in an ice cream coma right now.
Jimmy in San Antonio. Let's take his phone call. How you doing, Jimmy? How you been?
Hey, ¿cómo estás, hermano?
You're hanging
hey.
In there.
Hola, muchacho.
Oh, I know, dude. Emotional. That was moving to see the girls.
Thanks.
And see you see them.
Yeah.
And then hearing that mama was there.
Yeah.
You know, it brings tears to all of us.
Thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate that.
Man. I'm glad you're back. And that was cool. I didn't want to miss it today. And, Rich, have I ever told you about the time I was on a country radio station in College Station, Texas, and I had Stuart Scott as my interview on the morning show?
No, Jimmy.
Wow.
No.
Well, my program director said, why are we having the guy from ESPN on? I said, are you kidding? This dude's a legend. I don't know. We'd never seen a real brother on ESPN until Stuart. And the other reason was I have my own personal Jimmy T is cooler than the other side of a pillow drop from Stuart Scott.
Mm.
It's still saved. It's my most prized possession for my radio shows. And I'm just happy you got to see the girls. That was awesome.
Thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate it. Next time you come on, let's have that drop ready. I'd love to hear it.
Oh, okay.
Please
all right,
do it.
Deal, brother.
Please do it. Adios, sir. That's Jimmy in San Antonio. So many people feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I would say this, man. I doubt I'd be sitting here if it wasn't for Stuart Scott. So we thank him for that and what he left. Well,
you had me at hello, TJ, so don't worry about that. Justin Hartley, hour number three, and the latest from Nick Saban coming up. Still here on the program. Nathan in L.A. will take your phone call. What's going on, Nathan?
Hey, Rich. How are you?
What's going on?
Well, I wanted to share a thought that came up when you asked Stuart's daughters about memories.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to run this kind of delicately because I don't want it to sound like I'm talking about somebody else. I am talking about Stu, but I'm via another person.
Okay. I've got about a minute. Do you think you can drop that in about a minute, Nathan? What do you think?
I want to, but it's kind of important. It's kind of big. Can it wait till the hour or not?
Well, I mean, we'll put you back on hold, and we'll take you if you don't mind. We have other stuff to get to, but I also don't want you to run out of time. Thanks. We'll put you back on.
Thank you.
You got it. That's Nathan in LA, everybody. You know, I mean, I just try to be respectful. There's something called the hard out. That is
hard out.
That is you cannot.
Yeah.
It's like the Van Wick.
It's coming for all of us.
That's a great analogy.
Undefeated.
That's exactly you.
The hard out is undefeated.
Like the Reaper. Yeah, there's no, like, I can't help you out, Rich.
A Van Wick.
See, that's a Seinfeld reference.
Well, you've seen it now.
Yeah, I mean.
But you didn't watch Seinfeld when it was on.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't start watching Seinfeld really till 2015.
Okay.
And then I was like, holy crap, this is amazing.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it's still funny.
But I also knew the Van Wick. You know, there's many rap songs with, you know, pushing the whip on the Van Wick to come see me. There's, you know, there's a lot of that.
So you are. Like, you're Stuart and me all wrapped up in one.
I was like, if Rich Eisen and Stuart Scott had a baby.
Okay.
Wow.
That's TJ. Oh, my God.
The Schwarzenegger movie?
I think TJ's had too much ice cream already.
It was so delicious.
I might get more.
Hey, and Sarah Jackson brought donuts today for the first time. We've been begging Sarah.
What is happening here?
Bring donuts forever.
We've got donuts.
Gluttonous.
We've got ice cream, and with Justin Hartley, we've got alcohol.
It's bad.
Hey, party.
It's a great day, man.
Turn up on Tuesday.
Going up.
It's a good thing I have not one, but two pickleball dates slated for this weekend.
Oh, welcome to the party, pal.
Two pickleball dates.
Be careful you don't tear your Achilles out there, Rich.
I'll be fine.
It's physically demanding.
I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
Be careful.
I'll be fine.
You don't know that. You're a certain age.
I understand that. I had a little tennis yesterday. I got tennis Thursday. Two pickleballs coming up.
It's almost like you're training the run right
man,
now.
No.
Just training for those unexpected ice cream donut double dips.
You wear the hat when you
and your buddy's behind
Rich.
You again.
That's my question.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.